And this question that was either given at our market day on Saturday morning or sent through by SMS, the question is, why isn't life fair? Okay?
Just a small question there. I appreciate that that question could have come from a number of places and probably is a very personal question out of experience. So I recognise that I may not answer it in recognising your own personal experience if you're here, but let me give it a bash. When we talk about what is fair, the Oxford Dictionary says, treating people equally without favouritism or discrimination. And so why is life unfair? It's a good question, isn't it? There is so much about life that seems so unfair. And as I reflected on it, I thought, why do I live in comfort and luxury when so many others live in poverty? It's not fair. Why do we live in peace when others are living in war zones and refugee camps? That's not fair. Why does a tsunami wipe out 250,000 people in 2004 while I was enjoying post-Christmas lunch with my family? Or why is my child born healthy and another friend's child not? I think possibly the question behind the question of why is life unfair is the God question behind it, because it doesn't actually involve that question, doesn't involve the name God. But perhaps the God question behind it is God fair? Is God good? That's perhaps the emotion that we attach to that question. And I think that's at the guts of it, isn't it? If there is a good, loving God, why is there so much suffering? So that's what I'm assuming the question is about. If I'm wrong, please come and talk to me afterwards if I've got the wrong angle. But some have said that, you know, either God is good but not powerful, or he would stop suffering, or God is powerful but not good, or he would stop suffering. Or perhaps there's no God at all. Perhaps it's just a random mix of atoms and DNA. Well, I don't think we have to settle for any of those lines of thinking. I think for me, the Bible helps me to make sense of my world because it tells this overarching love story between the Creator and his broken creation that helps me understand when I suffer and helps me understand when I see suffering. So very simply, the overarching love story is that God is good. God has created our good world, and we are the pinnacle of God's good world. He's made us intentionally to enjoy him, to love him, to serve him, to know him, for relationship, and to be caretakers of his beautiful world. But that's not all in harmony now, and right from the beginning, that precious relationship has got broken as we turn our backs on God, as we say, we don't need you, we want to live life our way without you. We break the relationship that we're intended to have. And as we cut ourselves off from the life giver, so to speak, just like this flower is cut off from the roots where the life comes, we die. We wither, and as a result, we destroy ourselves, we destroy our relationships, we destroy our world, and the evidence is all around us, isn't it? It's in our own families, it's on the news, it's on a global scale. And history tells us that much of our suffering is the result of human evil, of abuse and injustice, of poverty and greed, of war and every kind of act of evil and oppression. There's so much of our suffering comes from that. The Bible also tells us that creation also groans in its bondage to decay. There's a sense in which the cells and the atoms and the environment also is linked to our rebellion against God. And so why is life unfair? Because we're not the way we ought to be, because we're not in sync with our Creator first and foremost. And unless we're rescued, that trajectory goes on into eternity. To be fair, if we're asking for God to be fair, then a holy God could fairly say, you've rebelled against me, I'll wipe you out. God is just and will one day bring all evil to judgment. And we need to consider that when we ask for justice, when we ask for fairness. What will that look like? His justice is good news for those who suffered at the hands of evil, because there will be one who can purely and uncorruptedly judge. And that is good news if you're in the Sudan and you have suffered unimaginable violence. But it's bad news for those of us who know we fall short, because I also will be accountable to the God who sees all. But we know from the Bible that God is also patient, he's merciful, he's good, he's loving and compassionate, and he hasn't left us with this broken world in the mess that we've made for ourselves. Rather, he sends Jesus. He sends Jesus to step into our broken world, to come up close and personal, to get his hands dirty, to align himself with us, to show himself as compassionate and merciful. And we see in the Gospels, when we meet Jesus face to face, we see God's compassion and God's justice and God's mercy and God's power all in Jesus. There was an instance where Jesus came across a woman who'd lost her only son. This woman was a widow, and he meets her as the funeral procession is going out the gate. And he stops the funeral procession. He sees with compassion and he speaks and he says to the boy, get up. And the boy, he says, gives him back to his mother. There's this incredible mix of compassion and power. And so we see the God who cares and the God who can do something about it. We see God's love and justice come together perfectly in the cross, because here we see the God who can't say sin doesn't matter, say, I'll take it for you. I'll take the punishment on your behalf. I'll step in your place. I'll deal with the rift. And we don't have a God who stands at a distance. We have a God who comes up close and personal, who enters into suffering, who takes on our suffering for us in order that we might be healed and restored in our relationship with God. Instead of giving us what is fair, he gives us mercy, he gives us love, he gives us amnesty and forgiveness. And so I don't know if that goes partway to answering that very big question.